bertemu kembali. Berbilion jaringan dalam talian antara individu, perniagaan, maklumat, data, infrastruktur, peranti dan juga proses telah memacu inovasi dan juga mengubah segala-galanya. Susulan itu antara persoalan yang timbul ketika ini termasuk adakah perniagaan anda semakin berkembang atau berada pada kadar yang sama? Adakah anda menukar strategi dan juga mengukur kesan persaingan anda dengan baik? Landscape yang berubah ini adalah peluang besar dalam menjadikan ekonomi digital relevan kepada anda sekaligus menjadikan anda relevan kepada dunia. Ini antara persoalan yang bakal terjawab dalam Kongres Inovasi dan Teknologi Dunia WCIT 2022 yang membuka tirai selama 3 hari bermula hari ini sehingga 15 September depan. Dan juga rakan setugas Haris Ashraf Hasnan menyertai WCIT 2022 di Pulau Pinang. Kita terus saja lintas langsung bersama dengan Haris. Haris, kalau semalam kita melihat di IG story banyak posting di Pinang untuk makan dan sebagainya, hari ini adalah bisnesnya fokus diberikan. Apa yang boleh kita jangkakan hari ini di WCIT?
Ya, Najib, sudah tentu kalau kita bercakap berkenaan dengan WCIT, ianya nama yang cukup sinonim dengan ataupun mesra dipanggil sebagai Temasya Olimpik bagi mereka yang merupakan pemain industri teknologi dan juga inovasi ini. Dan sudah tentu hari ini merupakan hari yang cukup penting, hari perasmiannya membuka tirai secara rasmi hari ini. Beberapa menteri telah pun kelihatan hadir seperti Menteri Sumber Manusia Datuk Seri M. Saravanan dan kemudian Menteri Mosti sendiri Datuk Seri Dr. Adham Baba dan juga Menteri Komunikasi dan Multimedia Tan Sri Anwar Musa. Pada ketika ini kita menantikan pada bila-bila masa sahaja Perdana Menteri Datuk Seri Ismail Sabri Yaakob dan juga TYT Pulau Pinang akan hadir bagi menyempurnakan majlis pembukaan WCIT 2022. Dan apabila kita bercakap berkenaan dengan WCIT 2022 ini, pelbagai program disusun atur termasuklah melihat kepada bagaimana isu-isu setempat, terutamanya isu yang melibatkan direct, melibatkan kepada masyarakat, bagaimana ekonomi digital dapat membantu mereka. Kerana kalau kita lihat, COVID-19 telah pun memberi impak yang cukup besar dalam kehidupan masyarakat, sama ada dari segi perniagaan, kehidupan harian, kesihatan dan pelbagai lagi. Jadi ini merupakan antara platform bagaimana teknologi dan juga inovasi ini mampu untuk mengubah kehidupan dan juga memacu sebagai contoh perniagaan, terutamanya ketika proses pemulihan COVID-19 ini. Dan pada masa sama juga, antara yang yang menarik dalam program 3 hari terutama esok, sebenarnya banyak perkara-perkara yang menarik, termasuklah dari segi bagaimana teknologi angkasa lepas dan juga bagaimana kalau kita nak direct, sebelum ini kita ada berbincang berkenaan dengan unicorn. Adakah Malaysia akan melahirkan unicorn lagi selepas ini? Syarikat-syarikat mana yang berpotensi startup, bagaimana nak membantu startup ini, bagaimana teknologi dapat membantu mereka? Itu persoalan-persoalan yang akan dibangkitkan. Pelbagai siri pleno perbincangan akan berlangsung dan sudah tentu saya akan tarik beberapa individu-individu penting untuk kita temu bual. Bukan sahaja saya akan bawakan dalam Niaga Awan ini, tetapi di beberapa lain lagi program-program, termasuklah Color Story dalam cerita, insyaAllah pada jam 5 petang nanti mungkin ada cerita-cerita menarik. Kerana di belakang saya ini ada pavilion dan juga macam-macam produk dan juga teknologi inovasi yang dipamerkan pada sidang untuk conference 3 hari ini. Dan sudah tentu banyak program-program menarik, saya dan juga rakan Hilal Azmi akan berkongsi di social media apakah kandungan-kandungan dan juga isi cerita penting yang menarik sepanjang 3 hari ini, Najib.
Baik, kita lepaskan Haris dan juga rakan tugas Hilal Azmi untuk membuat liputan. Ya, Nabila, kita benarkan untuk membuat liputan hari ini akan kami kemuatkan di laman web kami strongman.com. Terima kasih Haris Ashraf Hasnan kerana laporan tersebut dan juga membuka tirai untuk WCIT 2022. Baik, kita beralih ke perkembangan yang seterusnya. This is about Counter Life. We start off with the market. If you look at the Asian market, the Asian stock markets extended gains on Monday, led by Philippines Stock Exchange Index up by 1.66% and Taiwan's Technical Assistance and Information Exchange up by 1.54%. The local benchmark BMKLCI climbed 1.43 points to, or 0.10% to end the day at 1,497.96. And of course, technology is up by 2.12%. Yesterday was the best performing sector as of yesterday, and followed by healthcare up by 1.5%. Energy, meanwhile, up by 1.32%, and FTSE Bursa Malaysia East Index up by 0.74%. And of course, this morning, as at 9:26, if I'm not mistaken, 9:26 a.m., the FMKLCI stood at 1,497.24, basically down 0.72 points or 0.05%. Nabila.
All right, thank you, Najib. Moving on to corporate news, FGV Holdings Berhad through its subsidiary FGV Dairy Farm Sdn Bhd targets to increase its milk supply to 90,000 litres a month under its flagship dairy brand Bright Cow by partnering with homegrown coffee company GG Coffee. Next up is Malayan Banking Berhad's decision to move its head office to Menara Merdeka 118, which has high sustainability standards, is expected to enhance the bank's brand visibility, said Maybank Group President and CEO Datuk Khairul Saleh Ramli.
Of course, some of the other corporate news that we are looking at right now is the Widat Group Berhad has secured a contract worth 40 million ringgit for a mixed use of development in Langkah Suka, Langkawi. And also, if we look at the report that we showed just now about the Reservoir Link Energy Berhad, where energy-related services provider, Reservoir Link Energy Berhad's 51% owned subsidiary, founder Energy Sdn Bhd, has backed a 16.7 million ringgit contract to undertake a turnkey construction and commission of 25 MW AC, a large-scale solar photovoltaic plant in Manjung Perak. That is some of the corporate news that we wrap up for this morning. And of course, the next one is the BizTech Asian Midday Market Watch, a discussion between host Brian Fernandez with guest Vishnu Varathan, Head of Economics and Strategy, Mizuho Bank, a conversation of insights on regional markets performance. Let's take a look at this.
But also, Vishnu, the Fed action for next week is pretty much baked in, isn't it? Because 90% of analyst poll basically say that it's a 75 basis point rate hike expected next week.
You're absolutely right. I mean, in the run-up to this meeting, maybe the question might have been 50 or 75. Increasingly, 50 dropped out of that race, and 75. And that squares with the fact that we've had a Fed that's, you know, quite hawkish. And so putting two and two together, you know, markets can't see, you know, hawkish talk going together with a step down to a 50 basis point hike instead of maintaining a 75. So that remains the picture. But despite that being baked in, I think there are still a few moving parts that markets are cautious of. In particular, they want to see, because we know that the so-called dot plot, the median or the forecast for by the Fed FOMC members, they want to see where the new September updated dot plot shows yields being, or rather rates being residing at. And a key one is where you get peak rates or terminal rates, because as of now, the June dot plot suggests that rates will peak out somewhere in the ballpark of 3.25 to 3.5% range. But if you hear the recent comments, that is suggestive of rates peaking above 4% and being maintained higher for longer. So the post-Jackson Hole narrative of higher for longer, there's a certain element of quantification to that when we come to next week. And that quantification hasn't been baked in. Even in the OIS curve, markets are expecting sub 4% rates peaking next year, and some are betting on rate cuts starting next year in itself. So that's one potential for a little bit of a knock to markets.
Now, one of the key things that obviously this has an impact on is Asian markets, which have been lagging in terms of rate hike. Japan aside, obviously, which has a different policy altogether. Now, if you look at the impact on currencies, and we'll take one country as an example, Malaysia, you've seen really that ringgit suffering dramatically because of the lagging interest rates. What is your view on how that's going to impact countries like Malaysia? And will they be their hands be forced after the 75 basis point rate hike next week?
I mean, that's a really interesting question, and one that requires us to maybe take a closer look at things across the region. And this is where it gets interesting, because if we look at it from a slightly longer horizon, if you look at it from, let's say you start in September last year. Why September last year? It's not that it's arbitrarily a year ago, but also it's the first time that the Fed actually signaled that they'll start normalization with taper in November with rate hikes in 2022. So from that start of that process, if we track how currencies have performed, ringgit is somewhere in the middle of the pack, down between 7 to 8%, whereas Korean won and all are down, somewhere in the ballpark of 14 to 15%. So you've got severe underperformance, but overall, yes, all of them have taken a hit, and you are absolutely right in pointing out that one of the factors there is whether they've been a laggard in terms of rate hikes and catching up with the Fed. The BNF had an opportunity, but they chose to do a 25 instead of a 50. And I think that tells us that on a trade-weighted basis, maybe the BNM would much rather take a gradual approach. They've always been known to be a steady pair of hands. So we don't see them reacting to a 75. But if, like we discussed, that 75 leads to a sudden revelation of far more hawkish outcomes, and that leads to very discernible capital outflows that causes huge volatility in Asia FX markets, we could see a lot more reaction coming through from the BNM. But if the BNM is forced into that position, rest assured they won't be the only one. I think you'll find the likes of Bank Indonesia and maybe even the Philippine Central Bank and a few others also having to pull the handbrakes, as it were.
On a separate news, oil prices settled higher on Monday, shaking off weaker demand expectations as supply concerns mount heading into the winter. Brent crude futures settled up $1.16 or 1.3% at $94 a barrel, while West Texas Intermediate crude settled up 99 cents or 1.1% at $87.78 a barrel. U.S. emergency oil stocks fell 8.4 million barrels to 434.1 million barrels in the week, ended September 9th, its lowest level since October 1984, according to data released on Monday by the U.S. Department of Energy. U.S. President Joe Biden in March set a plan to release 1 million barrels per day over 6 months from the Strategic Petroleum Reserve to tackle high U.S. fuel prices, which have contributed to soaring inflation. Global oil supply is expected to tighten further when a European Union embargo on Russian oil takes effect on December 5th. The G7 will implement a price cap on Russian oil to limit the country's oil export revenue, seeking to punish Moscow over the invasion of Ukraine, while taking measures to ensure that oil could still flow to emerging nations. The U.S. Treasury, however, warned that the cap could send oil and U.S. gasoline prices even higher this winter. Wall Street extended its winning streak on Monday, rallying to a sharply higher close as investors awaited crucial inflation data that could provide clues about the duration and severity of the Federal Reserve's tightening policy. Energy and technology shares helped the three major U.S. stock indexes touch two-week highs and notch their fourth straight session of gains, in which growth stocks were slightly favored over value. The Labor Department's Consumer Price Index, CPI, expected before Tuesday's opening bell, is this week's main event and will be scrutinized for any signs regarding the number and size of future interest rate hikes from the Fed. Economists polled by Reuters expect monthly CPI to have contracted 0.1% in August from July, edging down to 8.1% year-on-year, mainly due to the percent cool-down of commodity prices. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 0.71% and S&P 500 gained 1.06% and Nasdaq added 1.27%. All 11 major sectors of the S&P 500 closed green. Energy companies, boosted by rising crude prices, enjoyed the biggest percentage gain. All right, Najib. Saya nak beritahu sebenarnya, akan datang kita akan ada program baru.
Okey, apa tu?
Dia panggil, title ni ialah Borak Anak Muda yang dihostkan oleh saya sendiri, Nabila Khalida.
Selaku orang muda lah.
Betul, okay. Mewakili anak muda. Ni untuk mewakili suara-suara anak muda di Malaysia.
Kiranya saya Saya tak lepas saya, Ibrahim
Sorry,
Sani.
Najib.
Hari
saya
lepas lah.
Kita okay. Dah cuba.
Itu sebenarnya sebahagian daripada rancangan besar kita untuk bajet 2023. Betul. Sebenarnya. Pada 7 Oktober nanti, kami akan membawakan secara langsung pembentangan tersebut. Tapi menjelang dan juga bergerak ke tarikh 7 Oktober itu, ada banyak yang kita sediakan untuk perbincangan. Bermula 19 September nanti, kami akan setiap hari di Niaga Awani akan membincangkan topik demi topik setiap hari, merungkai dalam bentuk data, dalam bentuk pengembangan dan juga expansion bersama dengan pakar topik-topik ekonomi ini untuk kita fahami kedudukan semasa dan apa penambahbaikan yang perlu ada dalam bajet 2023 supaya pengisian ini dapat dimuatkan mungkin insyaAllah dalam bajet 2023, dan nanti kita akan lihat juga hasilnya dalam bajet tersebut adakah terkandung dan apa yang kita akan dapat, kerana pada akhirnya cabaran ekonomi masih wujud walaupun pemulihan ekonomi seperti kita bacakan berita sebentar tadi, seperti data yang Nina sebutkan tadi nampak macam dah pulih dan sebagainya. Betul. Tapi masih ada cabaran dan sebagainya. Setakat ini sudah pun bermula untuk apa ya, shooting program ini. Macam mana keadaannya sekarang?
So far okay, alhamdulillah kita dah settle episode yang pertama dan akan datang banyak lagi topik yang akan kita rangkumkan ataupun kita cover untuk berikan kepada penonton-penonton di Astro Awani.
Ya, yang penting itulah untuk platform memberikan suara anak muda, kerana bajet ini bukan soal perkara-perkara yang serius saja. Semua lapisan masyarakat termasuk anda sendiri, kalau anda golongan muda dan sebagainya, anda juga akan menerima kesan dan juga berhak menerima manfaat daripada bajet 2023.
Nak baik. Tambah sedikit Najib, ya. Hashtag Youth Opinion Matters.
Youth Opinion Matters, bolehlah tag Nabila di Twitter ya, untuk memberikan pandangan dan juga komennya. Baik, terima kasih kerana menonton kami Niaga Awan untuk jam ini. Semua ini kami rakamkan di laman web kami astroawani.com. Saya Najib Arif
dan saya Nabila Khalida. Terima kasih kerana menonton.